Everybody, there you go. It's the last day of the year for us doing our weekly shows here at 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And, you know, it's the last day, and I've sort of made a New Year's resolution to myself on this station that I'm going to try to do stuff different. I'm going to try to do stuff better. But, you know, that's for next year. That's a New Year's resolution. Today, you can continue on with, as I like to say, the same old crap. Anyways, folks, you're not that Elvis. It's just he lacks an originality to it for what I play here. You know, I feel so bad, actually. I got to stop what I'm doing right now because I feel like I'm insulting the king right now. And I do not mean to be doing that. Love that song. Love that song. And the fact that I said same old there and crap, I didn't. I was talking about me. He's talking about me, not Elvis. Elvis rocks. I suck. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, folks, the final Suspicious Minds opening up the show, though. I love it. Hope you do, too. I would like to, and you know what? I understand at about 8 o'clock on CITR, and I'm going to try to get Eric when he comes in here. Eric from Flex Your Head when he comes in here for his 6 o'clock show. We're going to try to hook up a little James Brown closure for us today here on Wiener's Barbecue. There will be some James Brown played on my show today because you have to. You have to today. So stay tuned. If you're listening to 101.9, you know, I should have opened with James Brown, but I didn't because, as I said, I suck. But, you know, hopefully we'll have a little we'll have a little James Brown before the show can end here today on our final Wiener's Barbecue.
Sugar is fine. So nice, so nice. Since I got here.
I found it. I found it. James Brown. There you go. Of course, unfortunately, yesterday, James Brown did pass away. I think he was 73 years old. Wilson, am I right?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. But is it fair? It's a little ode to James Brown today. That's a fair thing to do?
Of course, yeah.
That's of course. And Wilson, it's the last day of school today at our station, for me at least.
I have no idea what that means.
Well, no, it's the end of the year. It's the end of the year. It's the last show of the year.
It is.
So it's like the last day of school. It's like anything goes today. Anything goes today. So, Wilson, next week we're going to get on finding out who this rugby player is. No, cricket player from Australia.
Right.
We're going to have him on. Here's the article. And Wilson Wong, who also does work for it's a station owned by the taxpayer.
It is, yes.
It's a station owned by... We won't say who it is. All right, Wilson. Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath. Okay? Are you listening?
Oh, I am.
All right. So what it is they're playing their last games, and the fourth test at the Melbourne Cricket Ground beginning today. So that's today, December 26th. Otherwise known in Wilson in shopping centers as?
The day after Christmas?
Boxing Day. Well, yeah, day after Christmas works too. Will be one of the most well-attended test matches in the history of the sport. More than 95,000 spectators are expected each of the first 2 days and likely the third and fourth at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Now, Wilson, we don't even really know what this means, do we?
No, we don't.
No, but we're going to try to find out for my show next week. We're going to try to have somebody on to talk about it. Also, Wilson, next week, and I'm just going to check my calendar here, if you can bear with me for a second. I'm just going to check my, because I want to make sure I have it right. I want to make sure I have this right, so I'm just going to check my calendar. Next week on my show, are you hanging in with me, Wilson?
I'm trying.
Okay. Next week on my show, January 3rd, Wilson, 1920. So it'll be the 77-year anniversary, and I want to get into this next week. Babe Ruth sold to the Boston Red Sox. I'm going to get into that next week. I'm talking about the new year, Wilson.
I know.
I'm talking about turning a page. Anyways, we're with, I think he's almost had it with me, so we'll get into what he's here to talk about. We're with Wilson Wong, our color, our play-by-play analysis, our play-by-play man for the UBC Thunderbirds women's basketball team. And Wilson, I want to break down what you did on the weekend here. You got to call a real cool high school men's and women. I believe you did two basketball games.
I did, yep.
You did two basketball games on the weekend. But, you know, I got to talk about the men because just from what I read in Howard Samura's paper, I don't know, unless you ever make it to the NBA, if you're ever going to be doing as talented a players, calling for as talented a players as you got to call for a play-by-play on Friday night. It was on Friday night.
It was Friday night. That's right.
So
White
down.
Rock yeah. Christian Academy, senior boys basketball. They're hosting St. Benedict's Prep School of New Jersey, and their whole roster is full of kids who are going to be going on scholarship to big-time NCAA schools. I know one guy supposedly is going to Penn, one guy to Villanova. Their center is going to be the top, you know, center in the in 2008 of all the high school players in the United States. Supposedly. So these are players that you know are going to go to the next level. You're going to watch them on TV at the NCAA tournament, and, you know, lots of chances that they may, you know, end up in the NBA.
Only to be seen on CBS. Now, Wilson, who's this guy? Break it down for us, because here you say probably the top recruit to come out of high school. You know, all the U.S. schools are wanting. I assume you got your. I mean, is he smart enough to get into Duke? I know you need good grades to get into Duke. You know, what you. I read Kentucky. I assume Kansas is in there. I mean, is this a guy who you called on the weekend? He's grade 11 right now.
He's grade 11. His name is Samardo Samuel, 6'8", 240.
Okay.
He's a center, power forward, and you know, a lot of the websites, including Scout.com, name him as the number one center in all of the 2008 grad year.
Scout.com.
So, yeah.
We're willing to put our reputation, Wilson, on Scout.com.
I'm willing to put your reputation on Scout.com.
It's not much, is it? It's not much, is it? Anyways, Wilson, so what did you see on the weekend? Because these are some primetime players. And in Howard's article, too, he said every player on the St. Benedict's prep team is going to be playing NCAA Division I.
Yeah. That's a pretty scary thing where, I mean, literally for BC High School, if you have a kid who's playing NCAA Division I, you're going to do pretty well if you have one. In the last few years, teams like Cedar, they won the AA championships with their one big player, Willie Gallick. He's down at Pepperdine. Players like Rob Sackrett, Hansworth, they're defending NCAA champions. But you're talking about a team with a roster full of them, so that's how good this team was, and really, they came in and made this White Rock Christian team the number one team in BC, with you know, lots of good players on it. They made them really one dimensional. They forced them to the outside, and they just didn't let them go inside at all. They, you know, they had long hands, long arms, just forced you know, White Rock to make some really tough passes, and it was pretty amazing to see, because you're literally seeing players that are tipping away balls they shouldn't even be able to reach. They're going on the full fast break and then pulling up threes and nailing them, you know, without any trouble. So it's kind of a, it was kind of a great thing to watch, even though it was a 40-point blowout there.
Did the White Rock team challenge them to a game of curling after, though? I'm just saying, you know, try, they win one, maybe we try to come back with something.
You know what? The way some of these guys play, I'm sure they could take up curling, too, and,
really?
And be very good.
Just so you're just looking at natural athletes out there on the floor. That's awesome. Tell us about the gym. Tell us about the atmosphere. And what was the final score in this game?
91-56.
That's actually not terrible.
It's not terrible. Yeah. And White Rock, you know what? To their credit, I mean, they played as hard as they, you know, in the fourth quarter as they did in the first. So they really put in a great effort. Couple of players, I know a kid named Tanner Jackson, he came off twice, you know, just literally gasping for air. That's how hard he had to work inside against, you know, a 6'8 monster who's about 240 pounds. And it was kind of amazing to watch him do that. A kid named Spencer McLean, he got a huge, supposedly a huge elbow right under the eye. So he was actually playing with a cut under his eye. And, you know, when these kids came off, and it was a very classy move, when these kids came off the floor, you know, the St. Benedict's team, they stood up, they clapped. Coach Danny Hurley, he gave one of the kids a high five for his hard work. So it was a very friendly atmosphere. In the gym, it was very exciting because I'm sure a lot of these people in the gym were very excited to see not only players of that caliber, but a team of that, you know, sort of history. So they're, it's a sort of a once-in-a-lifetime thing for many of these people. So I think they were quite, you know, amazed at what White Rock Christian was able to put together for that day.
Yeah, and that's cool. Just getting those guys there. Eh?
Yeah, and the great thing, of course, also is that you saw a lot of just the who's who of basketball in BC at that game. You know, people like Rich Chambers, an assistant coach with the UBC Thunderbirds, Bruce Langford, the SFU coach, his brother Paul coaches the Riverside High School girls team that played earlier, kids like Tyrell Mara, former White Rock Christian player who's down playing NCAA at Portland State. So just it was a very fun atmosphere. And you know what? One of the best things that whole night we saw was there were these couple of kids. They had a basketball with them. And literally as the game was going on, these kids were going up and down the St. Benedict's roster and the bench and just asking them to sign the balls during the game. And it was just hilarious. And the kid was just trying to round up as many autographs as he possibly could.
While the game was going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they signed.
Oh, yeah, the St. Benedict's kids signed them. They were all very nice. They stayed and took pictures with a lot of the kids that were there. And, you know, I won't say who, but at least one of the White Rock Christian players during the week gave a magazine that had articles about some of these players. They gave a magazine to one of his teachers. His teachers then took the magazine to the players and got them to sign it.
Nothing wrong with that, Wilson. Wilson, I'll say this. I mean, I guess I'm supposed to be media if I had gone down there, but looking back, I'm kind of regretting that. My father and I, we collect signed baseballs of people.
Yeah.
I wish I had some of these guys on a signed baseball.
Yeah.
I got to be thinking on my feet here. Yeah. that's another one of my New Year's resolutions.
Getting more famous high school kids to sign your stuff.
Hey. You got to think small, Wilson.
Absolutely.
You got to. Hey, it sounds like these guys aren't small, though. You're going to have some outstanding athletes when you're down there. So that was cool. Were we the only broadcasters down there?
You know what? Supposedly there was a TV crew there, but I didn't.
We were the only play-by-play.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were the only play-by-play. Just, you know, before we, I guess, get off this topic, just another kid that we saw. His name was Corey Stokes. He was a... He's a shooting guard, a forward, and here are some of the schools that have made him offers according to this, you know, according to this website.
Scout.com.
Yeah. He's going to Villanova.
Yeah.
Teams that have supposedly made him offers: Connecticut, Kansas, Rutgers, Seton Hall, and, you know, big-time NCAA, Big East schools. That, you know, that's sort of the caliber that... of teams that these kids are going to.
Oh, awesome, Wilson. So that's a great. You had a good time, though. You're happy.
It was fun. And you know, calling a game with Howard Samura is always fun. He's so into basketball, so it's really neat to be doing a game like that.
Right. Now, Wilson, something I do want to do for the rest of the year and up to March is every week on my show, and I'd like to promote it during our broadcast, we are shooting for it this year. I'd just like to tell everybody right now, and then I'll ask you a couple questions about the women's game. You've given me enough time, I'll let you go. But we are trying on CITR, and we're hoping to do, what are we trying to do, about 9 games here of the BC High School?
Yeah, sounds like it.
I think the final, 2 semis, let's see, that's 3, 5. I think we're doing about 8. We're trying to do about 8. So, Wilson, we are trying and we are working on it. The wheels are going to be in motion soon. CITR will be the home for radio of the 2007 BC High School Men's Basketball AAA Championships.
Well, that's the plan, yeah. We're trying to put together something to take to the High School Boys Association, and then hopefully we'll be doing the games and covering the entire tournament from Tuesday to Saturday of that particular week.
So we're going to do it. It's not confirmed yet.
No.
But we're going to work on it, and we got to promote this one, Wilson.
Absolutely. It's a great tournament, and it's always a lot of fun, and, you know, it's got some great history, of course, and I think it's one of the great, you know, sporting events that take place in B.C., in Vancouver around here, and it's, you know, it's probably some of the last chance to see some of the great players of this year, including, as I said, a kid named Robert Thackeray, who's going down to supposedly Gonzaga, you know, next year. So it's going to be it should be a great tournament, as usual.
Yeah, no, awesome. And Wilson, just correct me if I'm wrong here. I have a few names of some of the players who we're hoping to see at this tournament here. And tell me how these guys are doing. I'm just getting off topic here. But
yep.
Wilson, it's the last show of the year.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to do this. Denny Dumas from St. Thomas More.
Yeah, he's not only a, you know, a great basketball player, but he's also a great football player. So he's a very talented athlete. You know, often you don't know where these kids, you know, are going, but you know, he's gonna be one of those kids that, you know, garners a lot of interest from a lot of schools, not only for basketball but football as well. So it'd be nice to, you know, it'd be interesting to see, but. The thing about his team is that they play in a 3-team private schools league in Vancouver, and there are only 2 spots to go into the regionals that will qualify for the provincials. So it's very likely that one of those 3 top 15 teams won't even make it to the regionals.
Who are the 3 teams?
Vancouver College, St. George's, and St. Thomas More.
And Vancouver College, that's another guy I know, Nathan Yu, Jordan Yu's brother?
Absolutely, a kid who played in Prince George last year, won the AA Provincials with Dutchess Park, Nathan Jordan's old school as well, and then moved down here playing for Vancouver College and is you know, helping that program come back to sort of the glory days where they had it, where, you know, in the early 90s and before, where they were regularly the top, you know, top 10 teams in the province. But this year he's added a lot to that team, and he is going to be one of those players that, again, like I'm sure a guy like Kevin Hansen would love to have a kid like him on this team.
Right, and the last one I got here, Wilson, I'm sure there's a ton of players, and I'd like to do something like this sort of leading up to the tournament, but Graham Bath, a 6'7" kid, I believe, from Brookswood?
Yeah, part of sort of the Canadian junior national program, just very versatile. I saw him play just a couple of weeks ago, you know, 6'7", as you said, you know, long arms, moves quite well. To be honest, not sure how, you know, his team is going to do this year. They kind of have trouble getting the ball to him, it looked like, at least in the game that I was watching against Vancouver College. So, you know, he's going to be one of the top players in the province, but you might not see him at the provincial tournament because Brookswood, the team that he plays for, is in Langley, and they're playing a very tough zone, and they regularly send 7 teams from that zone to the provincials, and it's going to be very tough for his team to actually make it there to the provincial tournament.
I did okay there, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. And lastly, Wilson, just briefly, we're out of time here. You're going to be doing play-by-play UBC Thunderbird women who are still undefeated. What are they? They're 10-0 in conference play.
10-0, yeah.
10-0 in conference play this year. There's a little tournament at War Memorial Gym this weekend. UBC will be playing Brock on Friday, Toronto on Saturday, and then a New Year's Day, December 31st. What do you call that?
New Year's Eve.
A New Year's Eve day game, I guess is
That's
how
right.
you call it, versus Laurentian, and CITR will be bringing Brock versus UBC 7 p.m. this Friday night. Wilson, you'll be calling that game. Is this going to be a good tournament?
You know what? Absolutely. We're going to be bringing you the best game for sure, UBC and Brock. Brock in the latest national rankings they're tied for number 5 in the country. So it's going to be, if you're going by the numbers here, number 2 versus number 5. So it's going to be a great matchup there. They have a good guard, a couple of good guards in Jody Ebling and a player who's actually from Vancouver named Aaron Allen. And the two of them are, make up a very good Brock team. And looks like they've been playing very well. They're second in their conference. And they're behind the only team that has actually beaten UBC this year, McMaster, who is number 1 in the country. So it should be very interesting to see how UBC matches up with this Brock team. Of course, the holidays are always good times for teams that play squads from outside of the conference, and UBC is going to start with a very tough test.
Awesome. Wilson Wong, you're calling from home, Wils?
Nothing more exciting than that, yeah.
Wilson Wong. Wilson, thanks a bundle. Do you celebrate Christmas?
Sure, why not?
Atta boy, good for you. I don't.
I know.
I don't.
But it's easy for us. We can,
half-ass.
We can just say we celebrate Christmas.
So you excited? So you excited for the new year? You got a nice little fun new year plan or anything?
No, not really. What about you?
Got a couple parties.
A couple?
Are they good? I have no idea. Will I feel out of place? Maybe. But I got a couple places to go to.
Well, sounds like you're all set.
Well, I am set. I don't know if I'll have a fun night, per se, but I will. The key, Wilson, lots of alcohol.
I've never heard that as a way to
drive.
Have fun.
Darryl. But don't drive. But don't drive. But don't drive. And I take back everything I just said if it was going to get me in trouble.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. All right, Wilson Wong. Wilson, I will see you probably next Saturday.
Yep.
January 6th. Because I don't think they're letting us CITR men's crew do the games.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Awesome.
Happy New Year, Darryl.
Did I go too far off topic, or did we do okay there?
I don't know. It's your show.
Doesn't matter, does it? It is my show. Awesome. Wilson Wong. Wilson, thanks a bundle. Merry Christmas. Happy Boxing Day. Happy New Year.
Happy Hanukkah and happy Festivus.
Hanukkah's over, Wilson. That was last week.
I know. Christmas is over.
Touche. Touche. Thanks, Wilson.
Take care.
Okay, that was Wilson Wong. And once again, we're looking to do in the new year this BC High School Men's Basketball Championship. We're looking to do one game on the Tuesday, two games on the Wednesday, two quarterfinal games on the Thursday, two semifinal games on the Friday, and then the final game on the Saturday. And we're going to try to build it up. We're going to try to promote it this year. I don't know if you care, but we're going to give it a go. And, if you like BC High School basketball, CITR Radio, with the games we're doing here and, with my show, and we got some shows on the weekend, we're gonna try to bring stuff to you, at least on my show. We're going to try to bring stuff to you in the new year. Well, it's the final show of the year here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue. On the show today, when we come back from our next break, we'll have Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Steve's going to be with us. Always love to have Steve on. Fun time talking to him. We'll get into a bunch of stuff with Steve. And then Dave Turner-Chan, my hockey guy from News 1130, will be with us about 20 to the hour. Canucks play in Calgary tonight, 6 o'clock, pay-per-view. I don't necessarily know how much of tonight's game we're going to get into. It's a big game for the Canucks, I guess, but it's a long season. But I really want to get into Dave today with the state of the NHL in general and all that kind of stuff. Well, we'll see where the conversation leads us. So that's what we got planned today on Wiener's Barbecue. And there you have it. And there you have it. So, this year in sports, you sort of look back, and I'm going to get into it with Dave, definitely. Is our Vancouver Canucks, What a terrible calendar year it was. And I don't mean Canucks. I mean Team Canada also. Take away the World Junior team that won the gold medal at the beginning of the year. But wow, the Olympic bomb out. And think about the Canucks, where they were coming into this year and where they are now. Think of the calendar year. I remember going to a game versus Ottawa last season. Went to a shootout. This is when Ottawa was top team in the East. As I'll say, the Wales Conference. Goes to a shootout, and you got Alex Auld, our new goalie, because I think Klutz is, I think he's out for the year by now, going up against Hasek. He who knocked Team Canada out in the shootout in 98, won a gold for the Czech Republic. And Vancouver, with the final goal being scored by, I believe, Daniel Sedin, wins the game. Most exciting game I saw at GM Place last year. There was another great one I saw last year at the end of the season. March 23rd on a Thursday, I think they beat Edmonton in a shootout or overtime or something. But this Ottawa game, Ottawa was the top team in the East, and Vancouver might have even been the top team in the West. And the Canucks won it in a shootout. And, you know, you go into the new year. I think they were struggling just before the new year, but they're still fine. They're still fine. And then, of course, the collapse of last year, especially after the Olympic break and Jovo going down and Sal being lost in the Olympics and Olin and Salo getting banged up on the same day. Same day Canada gets knocked out by Russia. And coupled with our Olympic team, couple that with what's happened to the Canucks this past year, it ain't been good. It ain't been good. And we're going to get into that with Dave in about a half hour's time. Basketball, NBA, I guess it's the year of Steve Nash. That's really where you got to put it. Great year for UBC basketball. They still, in this calendar year, they went all of 2006 without losing a single game. That's what UBC did. They're undefeated in regular season play. They're undefeated in regular season play all last year and undefeated so far this year. It's quite a streak they've got going. Currently a streak. I think it's 31 straight conference regular season games won. That ain't too shabby. That ain't too shabby. And then, of course, they lost in the national tournament. That's basketball. For me, it was Steve Nash. You know, I got to think to remember who won the NBA championship. It was Miami. They beat Detroit, I believe. It was Steve Nash. And I got a kick out of the NBA playoffs a bit last year. Baseball, lots to get into. I'm a baseball guy and lots to get into with Steve Yeun of the Vancouver Province. We're going to be talking about the salaries of baseball and just the state of the game in general. And we're going to talk wild card again with Steve. We're going to talk wild card. I am anti-wild card. And we got a poor World Series this year. People are complaining about it. Why is the World Series good? Well, you know, with the wild card, the good teams don't have to be as good to get in. And the bad teams, the fourth best team in the league, what is it? The American and the National League. So it's not conference or nothing. In the league, you can win it. And, you know, this year you had Detroit versus St. Louis. St. Louis, who pretty much in the olden days probably doesn't get in, but I think they actually would have. So that ruins my argument. But Detroit, they would have had to have been better. They would have had to have been better. So that's a point. Anyways, Steve will talk about it. We'll disagree. We're not going to stay on that too long. But Steve Yeun from the Vancouver Province in the final Wiener's Barbecue of 2006. Eric with Flexure Head will be on after me. We're wondering where Eric is. We got a thing going down here at CITR Radio today where normally we just show up, you come in, the sub building's open here down at the campus, and you go up some stairs, I make a right, go down a hall, then I make a left, then I make another right into the station. Well, there's nobody to let you in the sub building today, so something we got to do by ourselves. And we got a little setup. Door's a little ajar right now. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I did. Anyways, hopefully Eric finds that door. Or he's supposed to call me. And I'm hoping I can see that phone call. Or we could find ourselves into a little bit of a jam. And what's going to happen if Eric calls me when I'm on the line with a caller? Whew! The problems we have. Anyways, folks, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The final Wiener's Barbecue of the 2006 calendar year. Whew. Whew. Year is over. Anyways, folks, we're going to take a break right now. I'll be right back with Stephen Ewan from the Vancouver Province.
Singer, always been a real close family. Lately, some of my old kin folks disowned some other boys and me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Hey, I leave me alone, I'm singing all night long. It's an old family tradition. Don't ask me why do you drink? Do you smoke? Why must you live out all the songs that you wrote? If I'm down in a honky-tonk, somebody's trying to give me friction. I say, leave us alone, we're singing all night long. It's a family tradition. I have loved some ladies. I have loved your name. They both try kill me in 1973. When that doctor asked me, son, how'd you get in this condition? I said, hey, sawbones, I'm just carrying on. Oh, family tradition, y'all know it. Don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Give me friction. I say, leave us alone. We're singing all night long. It's a family tradition.
Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. How you doing, Stephen Ewan from the Stephen Ewan Residence?
Thanks so much for having me on the big show.
Terrific.
I had to turn down the Tonight Show with Jay Leno for this, but yeah, I think it was worth it.
Well, no, you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Anyway, Steve Ewan, it's our final show of the year here.
Oh, that's sad.
Why? What do you mean that's sad?
Oh. I guess it's...
We're not off the air. It's the final show of the year. I'm on again in a week.
Okay.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Why?
Sorry, I was just kidding. The holidays make me misty.
They do, hey?
Yeah.
How was your Christmas, Steve?
It was nice. Since it's a sports show, I can talk about how my mom got me a Seattle Seahawks sweatshirt, which, you know, kind of surprised me considering I'm a San Diego Chargers fan, but whatever. It was still a nice gift.
It's all the thought, Steve.
It's totally the thought.
Was it a nice sweatshirt?
It's a great sweatshirt. It's an awesome sweatshirt. I was just kind of surprised.
Does it include a hood?
No.
Okay.
No, I got hats. I'll be fine.
And you got your San Diego Padres hat, I believe?
Yes, I did.
What's with you in San Diego?
Well, getting back into ancient history, way back when, I got into baseball when the Dodgers were good in the 70s, and I became a Steve Garvey fan.
Nice. So when Garvey left to go to San
Diego,
when Garvey
became a Padre, I became a Padre fan.
Wow, he's a Steve Garvey man.
I know. There's not many people that can say that honestly, say that openly. But I'm very secure.
So what did you do when he was on Barbara Walters there? Who was the girl he had the affair with?
There was a bunch. Off the field, he was a bit of a dirtbag.
He got caught, too, right? I remember him.
He was a bit of a dirtbag.
All right, let's move on.
Let's not mince words here.
All right, so we'll move on. Steve Garvey's a dirtbag.
Don't tell me that Gilbert Perreault's a dirtbag. He was my other guy growing up.
Who?
Gilbert Perreault.
Gilbert Perreault.
Yeah.
I would never say that at all.
Okay.
About Gilbert Perreault.
Okay.
That's the big Canuck miss, Gilbert Perreault.
Yes.
The unlucky moment.
Yes.
Which they pretty much never recovered from, hey?
Still haven't recovered from it.
Never recovered from
it. We are all Canucks, though, at least until the playoffs. Anyway.
All right, let's get on with the show. So, Steve, what I want to talk to you about today is it's the final show of the year, and I want to look back on, you know, I'm going through the different sports here, and I'll put it to you this way, basketball took me about 3 seconds.
Uh-huh.
So we're now moving on to baseball. And
okay.
A lot's going on in baseball right now. Things seem, the league's going good. They're trying to get things under control with the steroids and all this stuff, and it seems like the league is thriving. I mean, you've still got the big market, small market problem, but that's not going away anytime soon. However, the small market teams, you take away the Florida Marlins and maybe the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, a lot of them really seem in a position where, you know, lately they seem that, you know, yes, they're not the biggest spenders. They're not there with the Yankees, but they can still win. You're starting to see that in baseball right now. So I just want to go over some baseball with you right now.
Okay.
But the big story of the offseason in Major League Baseball are these salaries.
Okay.
Gilmesh, $55 million for 5 years.
Yeah.
And Ted Lilly, over $40 million for 4 years. I mean, Steven, we're in baseball pools. These guys are marginally draftable.
Yes.
Almost on your baseball pool team.
Yes. Ted Lilly's better than marginally draftable, but Gilmesh.
Gilmesh, okay.
This is kind of ordinary.
This is Kansas City giving him $11 million a year.
When did they become big spenders?
I don't think they are big spenders, but
I think they added an extra zero somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I don't know. And they figure, well, we better spend something so we can at least have like a press conference for the first time in 3 years where we're not firing a coach. I don't know too much about the Kansas City Royals. Don't want to know.
Bring back George Brett.
Bring back Steve Balboni. I'll give you that one.
Oh, Steve Balboni. I like that.
Mark Gubiza.
Freddie Patek.
What was the fast guy? Wilson? Somebody Wilson?
Willie Wilson.
Bring back Willie Wilson. There you go. Baseball. Are we getting out of control again in these baseball?
I think there's always going to be somebody who gets too much and somebody you think is completely overpaid. And you know, there's always a reach. I think a lot of it's about the market. I guess guys didn't feel there was a lot of pitching out there, and they took reaches on the Ted Lillies and Gilmeshes of the world.
And like Shea Hillebrand today gets a 1-year, $6.5 million deal from, I think it was Anaheim.
Yeah, it was Anaheim.
This is a guy who Toronto cut, pretty much.
Yeah.
They wanted him off the roster. And here I am right now in front of me.
He's a second-tier corner infield guy.
Right. So what I have in front of me here is the 1990 top 25 baseball salaries. And this is where I can go back. And this is still huge money these guys are making. But Robin Yount, the leading man in Major League Baseball, coming off, I believe, an MVP season.
Yeah, very
MVP,
good player.
The year before.
Very good player.
What's up?
He's a very good player.
Yeah, leads baseball with a $3.2 million salary.
Oh, but you know, I think you can look at any of that stuff. I think if you look at your salary in 1990.
Well, I guess
probably considerably less than what it is now.
Probably not much though, but Steve, my
bad example. But you know what I'm saying though. I think it's hard to look at that. I think it's just a case of supply and demand and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I think the Royals, for one, were trying to make a reach and trying to go out and find somebody, and somebody somewhere thinks that Gilmesh can pitch. So
where's my point though, Steve, is where's this money coming from? Do you know, you're a writer, you're in there. Where are they getting this money to give these athletes? Where's it come from?
From all sorts of things, you know, merchandise and peanut sales and all these other, you know, parking and all these other different avenues and you know, it's really hard to get into what teams are making and what teams are losing, because you can make the books read anything you want, right? If you want them to read a loss, you can make them read a loss, and you know. So I think that I don't think we'll ever really know who's doing what to whom and who's making what as far as teams. So I baseball is still thriving in most major league cities, and as long as it does, Gilmesh will continue to make $55 million for whatever the term of the contract was.
So far, I think the benchmark for worst contract, and maybe you can back me up here, or maybe you got a different one. I've got Chan Ho Park at the, what did he get, 5 years, $75 million from Texas.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I think that's the one I've got going right now. So baseball, though, Steve, I mean, do you think, and this is what I'm sort of reading here on these websites here, is that they say it's a bubble right now, and you're going to have a point where the teams that made all these signings, I mean, the Dodgers, I'm hoping, you know, Jason Schmidt, they gave him a bundle of money, but, you know, it's a short contract, and Jason Schmidt is a good pitcher, a very good pitcher at least.
Oh, yeah. When he's right, he's a top 20 pitcher, isn't he?
But my question is, are we in a market right now in baseball where a couple years from now, teams are going to be looking at these signings and saying, oh, my God, what the hell have we done?
We don't know, do we? Yeah, I mean, hockey is such a weird spot because they don't have a really great TV deal. And all these other sports have great TV deals. So, hockey really doesn't have the TV money to offset. And so much of what they make is off tickets, right? Where baseball's got other revenue streams. So, I mean, it's so hard to really... I mean, we're so set up for what happens in hockey, and I don't think the other real major sports have hockey's limitations.
Right. Just the other baseball size, Julio Lugo, who I don't even think that is that good, Steve. Maybe you do. 4 years, $36 million. Gary Matthews Jr., good player. Had a good season. 5 years, $50 million. Uh-huh. And what do you think of the Daisuke Matsuoka getting, in essence, Boston paying over $100 million for him for 6 years?
He better be good. that's not a place to be making over, having the team spend over $100 million on you and not be good.
Right.
So I think that whole Japanese thing has always been a little bit out of whack. I think that's always been a kind of a strange thing. And there's always, for every Ichiro, there's two or three guys who just don't pan out. I mean, I'm still waiting for Kaz Matsui to be the next great infielder.
That's not happening. And you get Hideki Matsui's a good one, and then Hideki Arabu's a huge bust. So we'll see.
And I mean, there's all those kind of guys, and I think there's a strange fascination with finding the next great Japanese guy. And teams are paying through the nose to try and find these guys, and hopefully for, I mean, I've got a I'm a Fenway Park fan, so I wouldn't mind seeing the Red Sox do well. More than a Red Sox fan, but a Fenway Park fan. But, I mean, that could blow up in their faces big.
Right. So, baseball, though, in general, you think everything's going peachy?
I think everything's fine. I think they need to survive the steroid question. I think they need to. I mean, this will be a real telling 2 or 3 year period with the McGuire situation and all. You know, I mean, that kind of coming down. I think if they can find a way to get through to not have the McGuire situation taint Tony Gwynn's Hall of Fame and
Cal Ripken's
Hall of Fame, I think that'll be a real key. But I think that the whole McGuire question is really gonna.
What about the Bonds question? Well, he'll probably break Aaron next year. Yeah, that's the bigger one.
Yeah, I mean, that too. I think it wouldn't shock me if he suddenly got hurt and just faded away.
My money's on he'll break the record now.
Really?
But I don't know. I mean, he barely hit that many last year. So.
Yeah, I think his body's falling apart, and he doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that's really going to go out of his way to win people over. And try and woo them to you know be on his side in quotes. So I think he's just going to fade away. I think he's going to just kind of hit a couple, and then the pressure's going to get to him, and he's going to suddenly come down with some sort of torn hamstring or some sort of very strange kind of hard to.
I'd definitely like to set some sort of an over under on how many games Bonds plays. And how close he comes to the record next year. I mean, I don't think he's going to... I hope he doesn't do it. I don't really care anymore, though. Because it's just... I don't know. It's all just different nowadays. But, see, the question is these human growth hormones that they all say they're doing right now, and there's no testing for it, and, you know, you need their blood to test it and all this stuff, so...
Yeah, what's the line that the bad chemists are always 2 steps ahead of the good chemists?
That's what it is. So, yeah. I mean, my Congress, they came down, they did their whole proceeding, and in the end, it looks like baseball did get away with just a slap on the wrist, when you look at it now. They did something, but not a ton.
I don't know if they got away with a slap on the wrist. I think the whole thing became very public. And like we've talked about before, it's hard to believe that Jose Canseco would be a star in the kind of the rebuilding of baseball and really bringing the steroid thing out into the open.
Well, the guy who brought it to baseball, you know.
In a lot of ways. I mean, I think he was the guy that kind of helped make it sexy. But I think baseball is really tarnished right now, and I think that's going to be, like you said, the Bonds thing and the McGuire thing, and you know I think they're going to have to survive those situations and find some kind of
solution. What do you think?
Something that's kind of easy to swallow, right? Yeah. I think they're going to have to come up with some sort of way that makes everybody happy and you know kind of. makes it go away in a kind of least painful way.
And yet more people are going to the ballparks than ever, so doesn't...
I think common people want to see kind of the freak show, right? And want to see the guys hit the ball 500 feet. And I still think we haven't seen we're still a generation away of seeing what these things do and how they affect people's bodies. And, you know, we haven't really seen it yet.
Right, and the other one, Steve, I want to get to you is we've got new owners for the Vancouver Canadiens. You've followed sports in this town for a long, long time. They're putting $500,000 into Nat Bailey Stadium. We'll see what that does. I guess the urinals will be different.
Yes,
that's what I'm assuming. They're going to clean up the bathrooms a bit at Nat Bailey Stadium. But you know, $500,000 probably not enough. I'm assuming not even close for it. We need to get a AAA team back here. But
yeah, I don't think we'll ever get a AAA team back. You'd have to rebuild the stadium. I think you'd have to get into a situation where there's all sorts of luxury suites, and you just can't. You can't find enough space anymore in Vancouver to put up a real feasible AAA stadium.
They you don't think they could just renovate Nat Bailey Stadium and turn that into a AAA park?
At what cost, right? I think you'd have a huge fight, you know, in terms of people in the area not wanting. You know, to go through what renovating that stadium would, you know.
And is that whole Greg Kerfoot situation trying to build the soccer stadium down in Gastown, if there is a prospective buyer out there, maybe one day thinking of turning that into a AAA park, just seeing the way our city operates when it comes to these kind of situations, that why even bother?
I can't believe that Greg Kerfoot stuck around as long as he stuck around, because I think in most American cities, they, you know, a guy comes in and says, I want to build you a stadium.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, which essentially is what he's saying. I think there's disputes about what percentage he's going to pay for. I think he's going to, but the version I keep getting out of the Whitecap people is they're going to ask for some government concessions as far as taxes and stuff. But he wants to pay 95% of it.
That's not bad, actually.
I went to the USL First Division Final in Rochester in a great stadium. It was a great little stadium and prettiest thing in Rochester, and which doesn't say much, but still, it was a great little stadium. And I think it was $24 million or something like that, and like $20 million of it came from government.
So yeah, and we
something
gotta,
something crazy. I'm not. Don't hold me to the figures, but it was something crazy like that, that it was largely government-funded.
So you don't think AAA coming here anytime soon, though, hey?
I don't think so. I just don't think... I mean, why? I mean, what would they gain coming here, and who's got the money to kind of fund it? And it's not like there was a great cry when it left. I think it kind of whimpered out of town.
It just disappoints me with our city that we're getting these Olympics and we're getting all these stadiums that we're never going to use again, and we're going to tear some of them down. Yet these teams that play here year-round and you can enjoy them for a really long time, we don't want them. We want something that's here for 10 days and we could build lots of roads. That's just me.
It's just not a great sports city, and it's never been a great sports city, and I don't think it'll ever... It's a bandwagon city, and it's a trend city, and as soon as the AAA baseball team wasn't kind of sexy, and you know, people had jumped on something else, then you know, there was no great outcry. I mean, we've lost an Indy, we've lost a basketball team, we've lost golf, we've lost all sorts of things, and nobody really seems to get too excited about it. And it'll be really, you know. The hockey team isn't very good right now, and may not be very good next year or the year after. And it'll be really interesting to see where people sit with that. I think it would have been interesting to see the hockey a mediocre hockey team in this town owned by an American owner, and how he would have handled the great fan apathy that tends to run wild here.
And last question, Steven.
That was a good answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're brilliant. You're brilliant today. Last question, Steven.
I've been eating my smart food.
The big day, the big talk around here on the UBC campus as far as sports go is the whole NCAA Division I thing. Do we find out this year, and what will the answer be?
I think it would be marvelous. I can see them coming to Canada. I can see them coming to, you know, hitting two or three major centers as kind of trial balloons. And I mean, UBC would be one of them. I don't know if you can bring one Canadian school online to start and kind of see where it goes. I think I could see them wanting the whole country and then kind of putting, you know, one of the Toronto school, you know, one of the Toronto area schools and maybe one of the Montreal area schools.
Right. I think I'd like to see them go to Western.
Yeah.
In London, Ontario, because that's a university town.
Yeah.
And they have the facility, you know, and they support their teams. Toronto's going to be tough to find the space for this.
No, but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, yeah. I can't see them going to
just one school.
Yeah.
What's going on there behind closed doors? I mean, they say, you know, you read in the paper. I mean, I'm going to try to do some research myself. I'm losing faith here. But why aren't we finding out these answers? Why is it such a slow process? I mean,
because it's kind of caught up in red tape, and it would be such it would be such a monumental decision. I mean, everything they've always written into their NCAA constitution was only U.S. and its member state, you know, member states or member territories. And to, you know, go outside that and go against, I mean, that's one of the, you know, if you go through an NCAA guidebook, that's one of the first kind of rules they have is membership. And you know, we're not going to go outside the U.S.
But is the thing that we have going for us for UBC and a lot of these Canadian schools is they are good academic institutions. Is that something we have going for us?
No.
Doesn't matter, eh?
I don't think the NCAA cares. I think what Vancouver has going for it is that it's a great city, and it's a world-class city, and it's a city that people in the Deep South have heard of. And they've seen Vancouver on TV and all these different events, and they know it just isn't snowing and Eskimos and all that kind of stuff up here, and they can relate to Vancouver. And I think they can. I think you could sell Vancouver in Alabama,
right,
or Texas, or where, you know, whatever far off U.S. place you want to name. And you know, I think that's kind of easy for them to stomach down there. And you know, it gives them another market. It gives them. I mean, it's, you know, the NCAA is a business, and you know, it gives them more opportunity to make dollars, right?
Yeah.
Gives them more TV money, gives them more whatever they want to do. And, it, you know, I mean, there's, you know, it's gotten to the point down there where there's just nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to expand for them.
Well,
they've swallowed up the, you know, the better part of the NAIA, and, you know, I mean, they're running out of options. So I think it's a credible try. I just, you know, I wonder what it would mean. I wonder how big a deal it would be up here. Because, like I said before, I think this is a snob sports town.
Here's how I see it, Steve, is I think the hockey would get support. Not huge, but they'd get people to come out for it.
The problem with that, though, is I don't think, you know, I wonder if the hockey would go.
Oh, the hockey would go. They'd have the stadium.
The hockey would go, but they're looking at a California conference. Like, that's my understanding.
Oh, I see.
They're looking at that St. Mary's.
I thought it's the WAC.
Yeah.
UNLV. Santa Clara.
Yeah. So,
no,
I mean,
I'm
not up on my NCAA rules. I don't know if you could bring hockey in as an independent and try and find a conference or something.
You know what it would take, though, is just one time that, because we're such a bandwagon town, but when the big NCAA basketball teams come to town, I just think
But that's a great question, is will the, you know, can you get, you know, will people here understand something other than Duke, North Carolina, Michigan? Because you're not going to get those teams.
I think you give them time and you see how it goes.
I mean, will Vancouver care that Portland State's coming?
I think you're going to get enough. I know what you mean, and I don't think you're going to sell out GM Place to get these people, but I think you can get enough people to come down to the arena here at UBC to watch them play. There's a lot of people that love basketball here.
But I don't think there's enough people that would make the difference between Saskatchewan and Cal State Fullerton. Like, I don't think they would go, ooh, like, I won't go watch Saskatchewan, but I'll go watch Cal State Fullerton.
No, but there's the belief that the quality of the player playing for UBC would be better, too, though. It's just an overall higher quality.
I think so. I just don't think it would. I don't think they would suddenly. I think there'd be an initial interest.
Right.
I think they may do well that first year, even. Like, they do great the first few games. I think they may do well the first year. I think there'd be a media blitz. You know, there'd be the, you know, and like, you may get like a Sports Illustrated to come up and do a story or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think over the long haul, you're bringing, you know, Portland State, Loyola Marymount, kind of these, you know.
Just get lost in the blood of the Vancouver sports scene.
I just think people here wouldn't care that much. I just don't think they would be that enamored with watching St. Mary's of California come
right
up and play.
Right.
I don't think they would. They wouldn't know the difference between St. Mary's of California and St. Mary's of Halifax.
Huh.
I don't think they would really. Is St. Mary's in Halifax? There's a St. Mary's out that way.
Sure.
But I just don't. You know, I wonder how big a deal. I mean, that said, it would be a huge accomplishment for Bob Phillip to pull this off, the athletic director, and I think there'd be a lot of neat kind of offshoots of it. I just don't think it would, you know, you would suddenly, UBC would become kind of next on the pecking order after the Canucks. I just don't think that would happen.
No, it's not going to happen, but it would definitely, I mean, you know, I go down to, in Seattle, you know, I'll go to a Washington Huskies baseball game. There's nobody there.
Uh-huh.
There's nobody there in Seattle, but it's still, it's a high. It is a higher level, or it's perceived as a higher. You know, whether you like it or not, and it was just the opportunity.
But I think, I think too many people up here say NCAA, and they think Duke, North Carolina, Michigan, you know, Stanford.
Yeah.
And if those schools don't come, I don't think people. I think the masses won't be swayed.
Yeah, I don't think we need the masses though to do half decent. You know, I just think we need. You know, if you can get 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 into that basketball stadium, I'd love it.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
I think it would be. Yeah,
and it would give something for that core sports fan, Steve, that doesn't want to go pay out $1 zillion to go
to
see the kind of.
To put it into perspective.
Yeah.
I don't think the province would change its coverage very much.
Right. Oh, I see. Sure. Except when they went to the NCAA tournament, or if they ever got in or had a big tournament.
Yeah, and I think there'd be an initial push, and I think there'd be some sort of early dance around it. But after that, I think we would come at it with our standard kind of. Where it wouldn't move up the pecking order enough for people to make a real huge notice a huge difference.
Well, I think it would be cool, and that's all that matters.
I think it'd be great. I would love to see UBC baseball for one in the NCAA.
I want to see the hockey. I think that'd be
cool. Yeah. You and the hockey, but me and the let's talk about baseball, UBC baseball, and Coach Terry McHank.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, I'm there.
Okay,
I'm there. Anyway, Steve, I got to move on.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Best of the season.
And have a wonderful rest of Boxing Day.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Steve. All right, that was Steve Ewan from the Vancouver Province. Eric Fletcherhead is waiting on hold. He's probably pissed off at me right now. I will be right back in a moment, and I got to go let Eric in. You are listening to 101.9 FM.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. To watch him shatter, you're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by.
Everybody, welcome back to Winners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Our final show our final show of the 2006 calendar year, and here to be our final guest of the 2006 Wieners Barbecue season is my man from News 1130, Dave Chernichan, who was just opened up there with his favorite singer, 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Didn't know you were such a fan, Dave.
Anytime I can work those type of hours, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to you and your listeners.
Thank you, Dave. So you're a Dolly Parton fan, hey?
Pardon me?
Dolly Parton fan?
No.
Attaboy.
My parents, yes. Me, no.
Anyways, Dave Chernichan from News 1130. So, Dave, overall, you know, I just sort of, because this is the last show of the year, and I sort of looked at the Canucks over the 2006 calendar year, and I coupled it with the fact that Team Canada in the Olympics, of course, getting knocked out by the Team Russia in the quarterfinals there, and they also bombed out in the round robin Canada. Pretty much a bust year for Vancouver hockey fans. Not the Giants, not the World Juniors, but these pros, a bust year for the Canucks 2006 and a bust year for Team Canada 2006. It wasn't a good year for the Vancouver hockey fan, was it?
Well, I think the Vancouver hockey fan was spoiled in a great way. I don't think you can, on a pro stage, yeah, definitely it wasn't the best. But I think hockey in general, with the success of the Giants, the success of the World Junior Hockey Championships, and let's not forget, there's a lot of supporters out there, the BC Hockey League and the Burnaby Express moving on to win the Royal Bank Cup as well. There's a lot of hockey and good hockey that was played here and championship hockey that was played here. And I think that's a real positive for the city. I mean, you look back to last season, the Vancouver Canucks at the time were favored to win the Stanley Cup and did not even make the playoffs, plus the headaches that we all saw that it was true when, with the dressing room antics that were going on that the team was denying, yet certain players came out behind the scenes to say, hey, it's all true. That dressing room is divided. Mark Crawford era coming to an end, Todd Bertuzzi era coming to an end. I mean, we all wanted so much more, and it didn't happen. And, you know, as for the Olympics, really, I don't mind them losing. And the people I talk to don't mind them losing either, because now it sets up 2010 in Vancouver for Canada to win gold. And I would sooner be having that thrill of having to win the cup, or pardon me, win the gold medal here in Vancouver, rather than having to play with every other nation chasing you to try and win it.
Like, there, no messing around, out to prove in 2010.
Well, exactly. I mean, every player is going to want to win on Canadian soil. It's something that has never been done before in the history of our country, the gold medal in hockey being won in Canada. Okay, they're going to want it. And let's be honest. I mean, it's something where I would sooner have them that much more hungrier after the disappointment of Turin to come back to Vancouver and say, you know what, let's get serious.
Back to the World Junior team, I got to go to that gold medal game sitting in the seats. It was a real fun day. Especially what I loved about the World Junior game, Dave, the gold medal against the Russia, which made it a bit of a fun more day for the fans, was you pretty much had to get the day off of work to go to that game, and you had the bronze medal game first. So people were already like sort of warmed up for that gold medal game. It was just a great afternoon game. Was that the great game you have seen at GM play so far? Was it that game?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's probably the first time I had ever seen the Canadian flag raised in hockey in championship victory, and it was honestly a phenomenal sight for me. I remember sitting up in the press box watching the game, and when that final buzzer rang, I remember thinking to myself, you know what? These players aren't going to rush back down, because I saw a bunch of my fellow media cohorts kind of trying to run down to the media area to start getting ready. And I figured, you know what? These players are going to take their time. They just won the world championship. I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to enjoy this and see what it's all about. And, yeah, I admit, I had a big lump in my throat watching the Canadian flag raised in victory, and that's what it's all about. And, you know, it's the first time we've seen that in Vancouver. and hopefully it's not the last come 2010.
Attaboy, that was a phenomenal game. And the Vancouver Canucks, though, Dave, you know, we did talk about them at the start. The calendar year of 2006, like you said, going into 2006. I mean, the game I remember, maybe it was the high point of that franchise since the lockout, was when they beat Ottawa at home in the shootout last year, Auld beating Dominic Hasek, top team in the East versus, I think the Canucks might have even been the top team in the West. But 2006, I mean, just a disaster from January 1 to December 31st. It's been a disaster for the Vancouver Canuck franchise.
Yeah, I remember that game, too, because it was highly touted as the first of a possible Stanley Cup meeting between these two teams.
Ha!
And it's amazing. I mean, Ottawa lived up to their billing. They didn't go as far as they wanted in playoffs. But, I mean, you know, so much went wrong last year, okay? And you know, so many people are diehard Canuck fans in this city that they don't want to believe what the media tells you. You know, they don't listen to what I say. They don't listen to what you say. You know, they harp on David Pratt or Tony Gallagher saying, you know, this is what we're hearing inside the room. And fans are just so diehard, they don't want to believe it. But everything that the media talked about last year, and Wiener, you can attest to this, it came true. We talked about the dressing room being divided. What was it? It was divided, even though the players refused to admit that.
I told friends of mine, Dave, I told them what you told me on this show. They actually got mad at me and saying there's no way that was true.
Did it prove to be true?
Oh, it was 100. I knew it was true, and I only go in there every now and then.
It's Naz, not play here, Bertuzzi refusing to deal with his problems.
Yeah.
Brennan Morrison getting railroaded every chance every time by Crow. Dan Cloutier not being able to stop a beach ball, let alone a puck. And guess what? He gets injured not once but twice last year. You know, the emergence of Alex Auld. You know, but the refusal of Crow to give the kid any credit. Mark Crawford, you know, berating his players behind the scenes where everybody tuned him out, even his captain.
I think what they got mad at me, and I could be wrong, Dave, was that the players were sort of, like you said, tuning out. Exactly what you just said there. They're sort of done with Crawford's antics. I think that's what my friends got mad at me about.
Well, and exactly. You had a general manager who to this day will not pull the trigger. He's overly cautious. Okay? And you can't have that. If you're not rebuilding, okay? And I would like to ask Dave Nonis this personally, okay? He's the kind of guy where he'll only speak to the media once every few months, okay? But I would like to ask him, you know, if you're not rebuilding, why aren't you making moves to make yourself better?
Do one or the other, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, I've had a great... Yeah, that's always been my complaint with this franchise. They're sort of...
You know, I mean, why does the Vancouver fan always get the general manager who's you know, stand pat, so to speak? You know, we went from Quinn... You know, we went from Quinn to Berkey. Berkey would pull a trade, but he did it on his time, to Nonis, who doesn't pull a damn thing.
You're forgetting the nutball Keenan in the middle, actually.
No, he made some great trades. He made some good trades.
I guess in hindsight, but we really had to pay for the way he broke up that team for a long time.
Yeah, how do you figure? He went to rebuild the franchise. People don't give him enough credit. And I will argue that with anybody.
We'll save that for another day. Dave, I want to say...
Hold on a second here. He made the best trade in Canucks history.
We will save it. It's just we're out of time here, and I want to save enough time for Mike Keenan one day.
Okay.
Next time we will do Mike Keenan.
Yeah.
Next time. We're just not enough time here today for that. Game tonight versus Calgary. They got the back-to-back tonight and tomorrow. They're going to be home tomorrow night. But I got to ask you, Dave, you've watched this guy for years. What, I mean, it's a simple question. It's the question everybody's asking. What is wrong with Marcus Naslund?
Oh, I think it's a number of things. I think he misses Todd Bertuzzi more than he'll admit. He misses the room that Bertuzzi made for him. You know, not as much in the final year Bertuzzi was here, but Bertuzzi did open up a lot of room on the ice by his physical play and his physical presence. And when he actually knew how to throw a hit, right?
Yeah, man.
Sorry, my sister's honking at me.
I'll let you go to that, yeah.
You know, but it's one of those things where you, you know, you look at Naslin. I mean, he just doesn't even seem to be trying these days. You know, he seems to be going through the motions of that $6 million paycheck. And I'm sorry, for $6 million, this effort isn't acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. I mean, especially when you see players in his realm, in his category, older, younger by just a couple of years, lighting it up.
Yeah.
Okay? You'd never see Joe Sakic dog it the way Naslin does. You'd never see a guy like Jerome McGinley pull that.
Never.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's disappointing. And for $6 million a year, I don't care. Yeah. If I were Dave Nonis, I'd be begging and pleading him to waive that no trade clause.
Is he gone at the deadline this year? It's looking more and more possible every day, isn't it?
If I was a GM, I'd pull the trigger, to be honest with you. If you're rebuilding from your goaltending out, your defenses, your top four defensemen are excellent. Okay.
And your forwards are a disaster outside of two guys.
Outside of the two guys, your forwards are a disaster.
Yep.
Okay, and what that does is it allows you to keep Brendan Morrison, who wants to stay here. Okay, it allows you. Okay, don't forget next year you're not going to have Jan Bulas. They won't re-sign him. You know, but if you got rid of some of that salary, namely say Naslin and Cook, all of a sudden you have an extra $7.5 million to play with. Well, you know what? That's three young scorers.
Yeah. Well, and you got to re-sign Sammy Salo if you can pull that off.
Well, exactly, exactly. I think they have to. You know, but I mean, Sammy's starting to become a little too injury prone, I think, for the Canucks' liking.
Right. Awesome. Well, Dave, we're out of time here. We got to go. I do appreciate it. Your sister is honking, and have a very happy New Year.
You too, my friend.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Chernichek from News 1130, and that is it for Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. How long are you waiting outside there, Eric?
7 minutes.
7 minutes of hell.
Well, it wasn't hell.
You had each other.
Yes.
You had each other. Anyways, Eric with Flex Your Head is coming up right now, and we're going to end the show today, Eric. I hope this works. I just sort of found it. With James Brown, Living in America. Cool?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody. We'll be right back.